know, sometimes that can seem scary, but sometimes I think it's a pretty neat thing. So turn around, give each other a hug, and tell someone, I'm glad I came today. Pastor Michelle. All right, welcome. Now we can have fun. I guess the Father had something on his heart, huh? But now, you know what my message is about? Cheerfulness. No, it's pretty funny, huh? So I do think God has a funny sense of humor. And I do think that he likes to play, but I do think that he also knows his girls. And I think more than men, don't you think we can get right to the heart faster than men can? Sometimes I'm like, what are you saying? What are we talking about? This. I get one-word answers, you know? I don't know. Okay. You know? But girls, we can go deep and we can talk about, we could fix the world. You know we can. Many times my mom and I fix the country over and over again in our conversations. And my dad goes, what are you guys talking about? Oh, nothing. We need to move on. So I just love being with the girls. I love you guys. My name is Pastor Jess, if you don't know who I am. And how many of you don't know who I am? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, then let me introduce myself. I am Pastor Jess. I'm Pastor Jim and Deborah's daughter, first of all. And then I am Pastor Dan's wife, second of all. And Pastor Luke is my little brother, if you know who he is, okay? My little brother. Somebody said, are you married to him? No! Thank you, Jesus. No, I love him. He's wonderful. But just so you know, that's kind of the family line there, okay? We've been here 25 years, and I've been here for all 25 years. And I have been here above 25 years in the mountains. When my mama was praying, I heard her praying for you guys before this church started. So I've been there through the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, the good and the bad, the fun and the not so fun. But listen, every piece of it is amazing. And I can't believe we've come on 25 years. And God has allowed me to be here. Because amen, 25 years, you know, that's a long time. And I just know that, like, I remember when I was 18 and I was telling my mom, I don't want to be in ministry. I don't want anything to do with church. And look where I am now. So God has other plans. So don't you just give God your plans. You listen for his plans, okay? Because he has something else probably that he has for you laid out. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Isn't that comforting right there? That, I don't have to make my own. He already knows what he wants for me. So really, we need to tap into his will and see what he has for us. So he is not a respecter of persons, so what he's done for me, he will do for you. So let's get into the word, okay? Let's just pray real quick. Dear Father God, we come before you as your girls. And Lord, we love you. And God, we've just been having fun learning about finances and learning about what it is you say in your word about giving. And Lord, as we endeavor on what your word says today, God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you bring our hearts alive today, God. Your word is about cheerfulness and giving. And Lord, I just pray that, God, that you would just make our hearts dance with happiness, God, and that we would just have a hilarious giving attitude after this. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your blessings upon us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, I'm going to start out like this. My dad used to say when we were grumpy, he would make us go, ha, ha, ha. So I want you to copy me, because it just kind of does something to your heart. Okay, ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
He, he, he.
He, he, he.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
He, he, he.
He, he, he.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
He, he, he.
He, he, he.
All right, now you see, you're laughing. There you go. So whenever you have crabby kids, make them do that, and then they'll start laughing. So, well, today I had been on the front row, actually, this weekend when Pastor Dan was preaching, and Pastor Deborah had asked me to preach, and all of a sudden God dropped in my heart, cheerful. I want them to know that they can be cheerful givers. And I thought, yeah, I think I'm a cheerful giver. I guess I'm not, because as I began to study, God began to show me myself a little bit, and I was like, ooh, would I do that? Was I not that in that great attitude? I thought I was in a good mood about that. And so as we learn what the word says as ministers, you learn as well, and we do this, and God speaks to our hearts, and we are changed from the inside out constantly. And so I kind of was asking God, okay, well, what does a cheerful giver look like then? And he says, all right, what does a cheerful giver look like? They are free. They have no boundaries. They're prosperous, they're settled, they're clear-minded, they're fulfilled, and they're unselfish. And I'm like, wow, okay, I think I'm one, two. How many of you could go, well, I'm all those? Don't raise your hand. Or, because you don't want to seem self-righteous. So, but maybe you're going, well, actually, I'm not a couple of those, and I would like to get there. Okay, what does an unhappy giver look like? Always unsatisfied. There's never enough. You're crabby. You're scheming to figure out how to get more money. You're selfish. You're lonely, and you're limited. So, I'm not going to ask you what category you fall in, but let's just put a little check mark there for yourself. And then let's learn what God says about a cheerful giver and how we can become these cheerful givers he's asked us to be. Because he has so many examples in the word, I had to wither it down. It was like, for 4 days, I'm going, okay, that's too much scripture. We got to like come back here, come back here. So let's just break this down. What does God ask of us? He doesn't ask of us anything he's not doing himself. You know, he was the man that went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and if you were in commitment weekend and you were at commitment night, we talked about this. Here he was at the garden, and he knew that his commitment had to be that he was going to give up his life for you and I so that we could have life, right? That is the ultimate sacrifice, and he did. And he was on that cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knew the whole time he was alive what he was doing. What an incredible example of his purpose, his call, his destiny, never turning back from what he knew that he was called to do. And yet, he was not grudging. He was not angry. He was not mad when he was getting beaten. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Could we say that? Could I say that about the people beating me at the time and hanging me on a cross? But yet, he says, look at my example. In John 10, 28, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. We will have it up on the screen as well. On John 10, 28 says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Let's stop there. And I gave them eternal life. You say eternal life. Yeah, if you know who Jesus Christ is, and you've asked him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, you will spend eternity in heaven with him. And he died on that cross so that we have this promise. That they shall never perish. You may leave this body, but you go to be with the Lord. You open your eyes in heaven with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You walk on streets of gold. You see diamonds and rubies and pearls and all those things. That's just something that they use like as normalities where we cherish them as something so great. God says, oh, you have no idea, child. You will never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch you out of my hand. I love that. So he went to the cross. He gave everything so that we don't have to be separated from him, so that we can allow him to be in our world and to love us. And then when we close our eyes, we get to go be with this amazing God. What a beautiful example of a giving heart. What a beautiful example of giving everything. You know, there's a song that says, I give myself away, I give myself away, I give myself away so you could use me. And sometimes I sit here as a pastor and I go, I know I do, because like I am a pastor and that's what I do, but I don't know how many other people really sing this song and get it. God is asking everything of us, not just if we're pastors, not just if we're, you know, just, you know, I don't, what do they call them in regular church? Elders. We don't have that here. But if, you know, not if they're just ministers or pastors. No, God's asking that of you. God is asking that of you. You are the body of Christ. You are his daughter. Your sons and your husbands are his sons, and he loves them. And he's asking us to give ourselves away so he could use us. But yet when we sing these things, just like we sing today, I wonder, do we realize what we're saying? God's asking us to give everything, and yet we hold on to everything in the other hand. Oh, yes, God, I give myself away so you can use me. But I'm going to hold on to this piece right here because I like this piece. You see, God is saying, I gave it all. I gave up my whole life so you could live. I did everything for you so you could live. And that's what you give me? You see, God is saying, enough. Learn how to be a cheerful giver. Not just a giver, but a cheerful giver. Because God did it. Think about all the miracles he did for us while he was here on this earth. All the things he did. He raised Lazarus. He cleared the blind eyes. He raised the dead. He healed. He fed 5,000. You think he did that with a grudging heart? Oh gosh, now I gotta feed these 5,000 people. And now I gotta go raise Lazarus up. I don't think he was grumbling when he was doing the miracles and giving and giving and giving of himself. Oh, but here's us. Oh man, so-and-so is sick. I better go over there and help them and make them some soup. Oh man, the church just called me on the phone and asked me to help for an event. So annoying. I hate that they have my number. I got a call about freedom for our future. All they want is money. Well, you know what? You come in here, sit your little butt on that seat, and you use the toilet paper, and you get the free childcare, and you do a lot of stuff around here, right? But what do you give back to the house of God? You know that there are 54 ministries, and still counting because they haven't gotten the full numbers yet. How many of you come to the house every week and you don't serve? Dang it, I didn't want to get in your face about this. 54 ministries, and you can't find one that you can do something in. You see, giving is not just taking. We live, especially in San Bernardino, in a taking society. What can you give me? What can I get from you? Oh, what does that benefit me? How does that benefit me? And God says, ho, 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 ho. Am I not your provider? Am I not the one that takes care of you? But you've got this backwards. You have to give first, and then you receive. You don't take and take and take. And come get fed during a service. Come get fed during a service. Come get fed during a service. Have your kids watch for you so you get a break during service. And listen, wipe your little butts with the toilet paper during service. And go and get the free drinks and all the parties that we do for you. Listen, we do it from our heart. But what I'm saying to you is, what are you doing for the house of God? What are you doing? You said, well, I'm busy at home. I got a lot of things. Yeah, you do. But would you have those things going on in your world if it weren't for your God? And if it weren't for this house that has trained you up and taught you up? And you see what I'm saying? You got to give, and then you receive. Instead, we got to change our thinking here, guys. We can't go, oh, well, what do you got for me? What's the benefit of this for me? What if Jesus said that? Well, I'll go to the cross if they do this for me. Let's see. If they decide that they're going to do this for me, then I will think about them while I'm on that cross, and I will add them in on that list. Thank God he didn't do that. Amen. Thank God there's not a checklist that God said, oh, well, she's good. Yep, nope, he, whoop, like Santa Claus. Are you naughty or nice? Pastor Deborah.
I'm so sorry.
That's Pastor, but it must be Dad. Let's talk to him. So, only a girlfriend. But do you see what I'm saying? God is not marking off a naughty and nice list. God is saying, I'm asking you and requiring you to give of yourself because I give everything for you. And I need you to be a cheerful giver, not a grudging giver, one that complains about what they have to do for me. Okay? So, how to be a cheerful giver? I said, all right, fine, God. Then how do you need us to be a cheerful giver? He says, go to my word, Jess. It's all in there. Okay, so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. See, he already has every answer to every question we ask him. Did you know that? Every answer is in this Bible. You say, oh, I don't know. I can't find it. Well, then come find someone who does know where it's at. Because God has every answer to every issue, to every problem right here. Okay? So get in your word. Learn it. I'm going to use the the English translation. I can't talk. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8:1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches in Macedonia. Now, Macedonia had gone through a lot, struggled through a lot, and he is telling and giving an account of what they've done for the things of God and the house of God and their giving. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Now listen to me. Does that not sound like San Bernardino or what? How? Our city just went bankrupt. Come on. You know, we've got a lot going on around here. But yet, in their abundance of joy and in that extreme poverty, wait a second, you're saying poverty and joy at the same time, Pastor Jess. That just does not go together. It just does not work. Well, obviously it does work, or he wouldn't record it in the Word of God. So we've got to tap into what it is he's saying about these two things together and how do they mesh and mesh together. Abundance, which is a lot, and poverty. Abundance, poverty. Abundance, poverty. Well, what meets in the middle? Joy. The joy of the Lord connects these two. And when you bring the joy of the Lord, and joy of the Lord is your confidence in what God can do that carries you through. The joy of the Lord is your confidence in what God can do. Not what you can do, or if someone made you happy today, or if someone made you mad today. No, 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 no. See, that's why he says, count at all joy through various trials. Because through your trials, if you keep your eyes on God, if you follow his word, if you tap into what he has for you, then you will be able to keep your joy. You will be able to keep your joy. He promises us that. So you want abundance and poverty. And how do they mesh? The joy of the Lord. We keep our eyes on the Lord. And that's what they did in Macedonia. Their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. How many of us have thought about freedom for our future and said, oh, I would just wish I could give more. Just wish I could give more. A few of you have good hearts. There's like, I don't want to give nothing. Listen. When God sees the heart that says, I wish I could give more, I believe that it's almost like a radar, like, whoo, that's faith. And that's a heart I can work with. And that's what I'm looking for. Because that person, no matter where they're at, no matter where they're living, no matter what they're eating, no matter who their friends are, no matter what they're doing, they have something in their heart that's ripe and ready, and I can use it. You see what I'm saying? Long for things to go further. Long for it to be more. God says that they were overflowed with a wealth of generosity on their part, for they gave according to their means. I love that. Because, you know, as Pastor Dan and I began to look over our finances, we said, well, we would love to do this, but it's just not possible. And he said, all right, this is what we're going to do then. We're going to give more than what we think in our means. But at the same time, we're going to be in faith for more than that. So our commitment went here, but we're believing for more. We're believing for way more. And you see, I believe God's going to meet that and above. I really do. I really just know he's going to. But they gave within their means. And listen to this. As I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They were hungry. They were hungry to be a part of what was going on in this church at this time. They were wanting to see what God had for them. They weren't going to settle for mediocre. They didn't let poverty constrict them or conform them. They said, oh, no, 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 fine, here's our means, but we are begging to be a part of this. We are begging to see what God has. We want to be on board here. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. You see, their hearts were ripe. They were happy. They didn't care. They weren't conformed. They were not the unhappy giver who is always unsatisfied, never enough, crabby, scheming, selfish, lonely, limited. No, I believe these people were free with no boundaries. They were prosperous. They were settled. They were clear-minded. They were fulfilled. And they were unselfish. That is what God is asking us. So you say, what is God asking us then? God is asking us for our actions. God is not just saying we need to think about what we're doing. He wants your actions. You see, these people came to the house and they gave beyond their means. They broke that thing of poverty. They moved past it. They moved to that next level with their actions. They showed up. They showed up. How many times have you invited someone over for dinner and they go, oh, well, you know, this happened. I can't come. Do you guys have people like that in your world? You just kind of almost don't want to invite them because you're not sure if they're really going to come. You know what I mean? Or you know they're going to be like 10 hours late, you know? Can't rely on them. Why is God going to go put something in your hand if he can't rely on you? But see, they were faithful. And God said, oh, look at them. This little church, under tribulation, under fire, but they know. They showed up that day. They showed up and brought to the house of God. They showed up and wanted to be a part of something greater than what they were. They showed up and knew that something bigger and better was ahead of them. They showed up. Their actions spoke louder than their words. And you see, I'm not just talking about finances. Let's go a little further. God is not asking us just for our finances, because that is just God's economic recovery plan for us. But he's asking us, and me included, girls, he's asking us for our time. He's asking us for our thoughts. He's asking us for the intents of our heart. He's asking us to give beyond what we want to give. That means go out of your way for someone else. You love, which means that you love them past what you feel. You love them past what you think they deserve. God is asking these things of us. God is asking us to be givers, to be cheerful givers with an attitude that loves him. Cheerful means hilaios. And I love that. It means willing. Ooh, I don't know. I guess I'm not a cheerful giver because I'm not willing to give up my time, Pastor Jess. You know, I got things to do. I'm busy. Okay, well, guess what? So am I. Willing, good-natured. Are you a crabby person to be around when you're doing something? Because please don't come. Have you ever had that, like, oh, man, are they going to be nice when they show up? Like, there's a person in my life. Every time we have a party, this person shows up. And I'm like, get ready, because they're coming in and they're going out. Like, they are not going to be here very long. And they are not happy usually when they come. And honestly, I'm kind of like, let's stop inviting them. You see, when are you going to stop being invited to be someone around people's world? You see what I'm saying? God is asking us to be a cheerful, willing, good-natured. The next one is joyfully ready. Are we joyfully ready? Wouldn't you love it, like, if you said, okay, kids, we're doing chores today. And they were like, yeah, Mom, okay, what do you need me to do? No, it does not work like that in my house. This is how it works. Chloe, can you please pick up your piles? Pile, because my daughter's a hoarder. And she is a pile hoarder, is what I call her, because she piles up her crafts and then moves on. She's bored with it, moves on to the next one. And every time I ask her to clean it up, she says, oh, Mom, gosh, I was just in the middle of something. Yeah, I could tell, like in the middle of like five things, and you never even finished one. And do you see what I'm saying? How many times do we do that to God? Oh, wait, hold on, God, I'm in the middle of something. Are you joyfully ready? Ready to go when he says go? Have you ever been in the middle of a storm and God says, all right, I want you to go down this aisle. I want you to tell that person you love them. Tell them I love them. Remember one time I was at Home Goods. Okay, this is when Home Goods first opened. Nobody knew about it. It was wonderful. Now everybody knows about it, and they raise their prices. So it was when it was new. And I'm in line. We did not have any money. And I remember we had to buy sheets because someone was staying at our house. And I thought, well, I need them to have clean sheets. I would want nice sheets if I was at someone's house and I was staying in their bed, which is a little weird that people were in my bed. But I got over it because I'm a germ freak. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to just buy them some sheets, and then I'll let them keep them. So I'm driving my mom crazy. How do I stay at a hotel? I just don't think about it. So we went to Home Goods and we're buying sheets. And I'm in line and I only had just enough money for this pack of sheets, okay? And the person in front of me, she was struggling. She had like a couple things and she didn't have enough money for like this like little vase thing that she wanted. And she was embarrassed because she didn't have enough money. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, give her the money. I said, I don't got any money. He said, give her the money. I'm like, I only have enough for these sheets. What do you want me to do? And he's like, give her the money. And all of a sudden, I felt myself getting all flush, and it got really hot, and I was like, and by that time, me wrestling with God, she left. And I never will forget that moment, and he goes, wow, you just missed me, didn't you? And I still, to this day, will never forget, and every time I stand in a Home Goods line, I think about it. And I thought, I will never do that to you again. I will never do that to you again, God. Forgive me. I mean, right away I was in repentance. And then I went looking for her. Like, do you need my sheet money? You can have it. And then the people didn't even come. And I bought the sheets anyways, whatever. That's what I get for not giving her my money, right? I'm trying to be a giver and then all of a sudden it don't work. So, your giving will dry up, okay? But the next time I heard God's voice, with my actions, where he wanted me to move on something. I was sitting in a waiting room. One of my kids was sick in the emergency room. And this girl came in, and she was devastated. I mean, she was just devastated. She was young. She was probably like a teenager. And her mom was with her. And the Lord spoke to me and said, ask her if you could pray for her. I'm like, oh, that's awkward. And I'm not like, I mean, I was like, awkward. And the first thing I thought to myself was, And it was almost like the Holy Spirit said to me, so you're going to do it again? And I was like, oh, no. So I was like taking my sick kid, like, come on, we're going to pray for this person. Like, and I said to her, I said, I don't know, you know, what's going on with you, but I just want you to know I'm a pastor at The Rock, which did help. Because at least they're like, oh, good, she's not crazy. And I'm like, and I just feel like I would love to pray for you. If you would want me to pray for you, I would love to pray for you. And they all kind of looked at each other, her parents and everybody. It was like, and she's like, please, please pray for me, please. And so we took her out of the room where it was because it was crazy loud in there. And so we just stepped outside, and I prayed with her, and she cried, and her mom cried. And they said, thank you, thank you. That just was, I feel like we can get through this now. Thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. And then right away, my name got called, of course, for my son, and I had to leave. But I never know what the result of that was, but I know that on the other side of here, in heaven, I will learn. And I know that I was obedient that day. And in my actions, I did what God asked me to do. You see what I'm saying? So, girls, you have a choice. You have a choice to disobey, which, believe me, is horrible. And the Holy Spirit will get on you, and he will sick on you, and he will not leave you alone. Or you can just obey and then be happy and free and no boundaries, and life will just continue. Let me tell you, both sides are not fun in the beginning. Because when you want to give of yourself, it's not always easy. It's always self-sacrificing. You know, it's self-sacrificing. When you invite someone over to your house, what do you got to do? You got to clean your house. Well, please clean your house. Please clean your toilets. And then you need to make a dinner. And then you need to host and be happy they're there, and then you get to clean it all up afterwards, right? And then have you ever gone to bed and go, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, why do I do this? Yeah, see, we're all women, we all know that what we think about each other. So, but the truth is that you love being with them in the process. When they're there, you're good for them and they're good for you. And God has that, and it's a joined thing that God has created, and so then you find joy in it. You know, I had my family over for Mother's Day. I've never had my family at my house. I have the Roth family always at my house, but my family does not come to my house. So I invited them for Mother's Day because my mom was preaching. And I did not, when we go to my mom's house, mom doesn't stop. Have you ever learned that about if you go to someone else's house, they just never stop? So I thought, it's Mother's Day, she is not doing a thing. So me and Kim, we hooked it up and we got it all together, and mom and dad enjoyed themselves, and they were able to leave, and she didn't have to do anything. She was able to just leave and go preach the next day. I was so happy. And then Kim and, like, my brothers and everybody hung out, and afterwards, when we went to bed that night, I said, that was awesome. Like, that was awesome. I never got to do this, and that's awesome. And you see, try new things. Get outside of your borders. You're so used to not doing things. Well, maybe start something new. You know, and God is saying, give of yourself because that ministers to them. And I know that I am planting seeds in my kids to host and love people that come into their world. And you see, people are watching you. So choose to be a giver, not just in your finances, not just in everything we've always been talking about for the last 5 weeks, but in your actions. God is asking you for your actions. You do your part and the rest comes. Listen to the verse. Cheerful giver, then all sufficiency, enough to meet the needs of the situation is what sufficiency means. In all things, so that means he's going to meet all of your needs once you're a cheerful giver. He's then going to meet all of your needs, right, at all times, in every good work. I love those absolutes. All every. All right, that's how I need God to work on my behalf. I need him to work in all things. And I need it to be done. And listen, God says a cheerful giver brings that. In abundance and in need. When you're in abundance, when you're in need, and when you're in faith, that is what these people did. They were in need. They were hurting. They were going through trials. They were in faith, though, and they were in need themselves, but they gave in abundance. And because of all of that, they had joy for their generosity. They were excited to give, and that brought the grace of God to work on their behalf. Listen, when you give of yourself, I believe it doesn't just do something for the people that you're giving to and the church that you're serving and the things that you're giving of yourself in. I believe it does something in your heart. It builds you more. Have you ever gone on a mission trip and think, I'm going there for them, and you get more out of it than probably the people you went for? Because God builds something in our hearts, a heart of gratitude and generosity and giving and getting outside of ourselves in this world and me. But God says, no, this is not about you. This is about them. And what can you do for them? See, I came to serve. That's what God said. And you are here to serve. You are here to serve. Follow in his footsteps. Do what you can to love people to life. 2 Corinthians 9:7 in the Amplified. I love the way it says this in the Amplified, so you can look on the screen. Let each one of us give as he has made up in his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things and is unwilling to abandon or do without cheerful, joyous, prompt to it giver whose heart is in their giving. I love that. I want God to look at me and say, ooh, her heart's in her giving. Look at her actions right now. I don't even have to find out what's going on with her because she's doing what she needs to be doing. She's doing what I've called my daughter to do. She is loving when it's not easy to love. She is going beyond herself when it is not easy for her to go beyond herself. She just walked out in faith and bought that person something when she didn't even have anything. You see, God is not, he will not abandon a cheerful giver whose heart is in their giving. I love that. That brings us to the second part. First, it's our actions God looks at. Second, it's our heart. Our heart in their giving. What is your heart like? What is in your heart, girls? Look at your heart and say, huh, I don't know. I guess I don't know what's in my heart. Well, you know what? Get alone this week. I prompt you. Get alone. I had a friend, and we were talking about my prayer closet. I couldn't get away from my son yesterday. I mean, seriously? My mom was going to take him from me? And I said, oh, no, he's easy. I can study with him. That little booger, he didn't never go to sleep. He wanted mommy to play the whole time. I'm like, seriously, like, should have called Nana back. So what I ended up doing was putting on a little show for him, and I went in the closet. I have this closet, and I put prayer over my closet. I have a sign that says prayer. And I went in there, and I got alone with my king because that is a place of serenity for me. And where's my heart? And the first thing I said to God is, where's my heart, God? I need you to check my heart. And before I started anything, and usually before I try and start my day, I ask God that too. Where's my heart? Where's my heart on these matters? Where's my heart towards the church? Where's my heart towards people in my life? Where's my heart towards this family member? Where's my heart towards this friend? Where's my heart towards whatever's going on in your world? Where's my heart towards my finances? Am I in fear? Where's my heart, God? And he will reveal it to you if you ask. You're going, I ain't asking then. Listen. You need to ask, because if you can correct it and readjust it, then God has something bigger and better for you. And you may be in the place where you're frustrated and you're limited, like we talked about the people who don't give. And God is saying that's because you are not willing to look at your heart. I can help you, and it's actually not that big of a deal, but you will not let it go. You will not face it. Look at your heart. Is your heart on the things that God loves? Or is your heart on the things you love? You say, well, I love the things God loves. Do you? Do you love the things God loves? See, because God isn't about materialistic things. God isn't about things that bring happiness, which is, you know, temporary and comes and goes at moments in our life. God is about eternity and those things that last forever. God is about sowing into people, sowing into the house of God. God is about sowing into the hearts and lives of others around you. You see, you don't come into this house and get filled up so that you can go out and do nothing. You come into this house, get yourself filled up, fixed, and restored, right? So that you can go out and make a difference. Yeah. so you can go out and help the next person. So that maybe that seed that you planted in their heart, someone else is going to reap that harvest. And they're going to come in and they're going to serve God. And you never know down the road if you ministered to the next Billy Graham. You never know down the road what you gave. And all because you asked one day, where's my heart, God? Where's my heart? Is it on the things of God? Is your heart at church or is it into your sports games for your kids? Oh, we'll just miss that Sunday. It's okay. We'll miss it. You do it once, then you do it again, then you do it again, then you do it again. And all of a sudden, life stinks. And all of a sudden, oh, but I love Jesus. Yeah, really? Because you haven't filled your spirit up, and I can't tell you how long. You see what I'm saying? We have to fill our hearts up with the things of God. We only know what God loves if we come and we get fed and we come and sit at his feet, which is whoever is in the pulpit. Not that we are Jesus, but God is speaking through us to put a word into your heart so that you can go out into the highways and the byways of your lives and do what God has asked you to do. And listen, when you are not in the house of God, you miss out. You do. You miss out, and your heart should ache for that. But warning, when your heart stops aching for it, you better run back to the house of God because things are about to hit. And I've seen it time and time and time. Mom, how many people have we seen just wipe out because they stopped going to church? You see, get into church. Don't place other things above God. For instance, let me give you an example of my life. I have a son, and he's good at sports. He wants to play soccer. And you say, oh, well, Pastor Jess, listen, I take what we do here seriously because what I do is not just a job. This is eternity. These are souls, okay? So it's not just a job that pays my bills. No, no, no. This is souls going to heaven or hell. So I take it serious. So he's going into soccer. And if he has a game on a Saturday when my husband preaches, guess what? My gang going to soccer that day. And all you soccer crazy moms are going to be all mad at me, but oh, well. Because it's either I answer to God or I answer to my son. And then now I'm showing my son, well, you know what? It's more important than church. It's more important than church. No way. I will not do that to him. And I will not do that to me. My parents never let us do that. And listen, I am telling you, stop placing things above God. If your kids are in games on Saturday, you be in church on Sunday then. You see what I'm saying? You are teaching your children to love God the way you do. So if you're mediocre, you think they just go over there and they get childcare? They don't. They go over there and they learn the word of God. They go over there and that's their church. So you don't come, they don't get fed. I'm going to be hard on you guys because I think God is calling us to a new level. I think God is saying to us, quit playing games with me. Enough. You can have the things of this world if they don't take over my place or my position. That means go play your soccer game, enjoy your kids, but make sure you're in church on Sunday. See what I'm saying? Don't compromise church. Don't compromise the word of God. Don't compromise things because someone comes in your household and you guys normally pray around dinner table, but then that family member came for dinner, so we don't want to offend them. Oh, come on. They walked in your house. You better be praying over dinner in front of them. You see, God is looking at the heart. A heart will go above and beyond for the things of God. And let me tell you, oh, I've heard it myself. Well, that's weird. That's not good. That works for you because you're pastors. No, 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 no. This is called, I just love God. Yeah. And this is called, no, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I cherish what God cherishes. And I know that if I don't get my butt and my kid's butt in church, we are going to fall and fail. And when hell hits the fan, we will be ready. And we will know how to fight. But if we are off key, and if we are not around, and if we just make excuses why we can't come, then how can I give anything to God? Amen. God is going, hello, I can't even use you, not even around. You're filling up your time and your heart with other things. You're allowing these things to become distractions in your world. Oh, I'm tired, I just don't want to go to church tonight. Listen, that's when you should come to church. Because when you're tired, he will fill you back up. He will fulfill you, he will strengthen you. You watch, there'll be a word just in season for you and your family. Guys, this is serious, and I'm sorry if I'm reaming on this, but God says, I want your heart. And your heart cannot be caught up in other things that consume you. Other things that take your mind and your heart and your thoughts off of me. When you begin to think about something more than your word and what God wants for that situation, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because when you walk into a situation in your life, the first thing you should be going is, what does God say about this? I want to know what he says. I want to know what he thinks about this. I want to know if he's okay with this. And I'm telling you, Dan and I live that way. And our kids live that way. But if you're not living that way, learn to live that way. Because it didn't take us, it took us forever to get there. We had to learn and fail and learn and fail. But now we have learned so hard that if we don't ask God what he wants for us, then later on down the road, we'll pay for it. Because he has our purpose and our destinies in his hand. He has your purpose and your destiny in your hand. He has your kids' hearts in his hand. He knows what their desires are. He knew them in your womb before you did. He knew them in their mother's womb. Don't you love that? But yet he has called them for such a time as this. Guys, they're living in a rough world. They're living in a messed up world. And they need some mommies and some daddies that are going to love them. And you don't say, I don't got a daddy in their life. Well, listen, you got the Father God in their life, don't you? And he is the Abba Father. He is the one who created Father. And he is the one that can be that for them. But you, mama, have to put that in their hearts. That means, yep, we're going to go to your soccer game. But then tomorrow, we're going to church. And guys, it's a privilege we get to go to church. Amen. And you know, my kids will wake up, because we're pastors, and they do have to come to a lot of services. And they go, oh, again, we got to go to church again. And I'm like, excuse me? And they go, oh, yeah, 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 we get to go to church, Mom. We get to go to church. Yes, you get to go to church, because, and then Chloe goes on, well, because I know in China, they have to go to the underground churches, and they have to knock several times and figure out, and you know, so like, okay, so I go deep with them. So listen. Make sure that you are the example and keep your heart right, and they'll follow. They'll follow you. You do it, they follow you. It's just natural. Keep the things of God in the forefront of your mind. Keep the things of God in the forefront of your mind. Now listen, this can be hard, because you could flip on a TV show and stop thinking about God, right? Oh yeah, how many, listen, nobody likes a veg like me. Okay, I like getting in front of a good old English movie. I like the old English stuff. I'm watching a really good one right now. And the Lord spoke to me. He's like, turn that off. You haven't prayed or read your Bible? And I'm like, but it's not bad. So what? It's distracting you. That's what he told me. So what? It's distracting you. You're not talking to me. He's a jealous God, and he wants our time. And he wants our hearts. Then once I talked to him, he told me, okay, you can go back and finish the show. He's a good God, and he loves us. And so just make sure that we keep him on the forefront of what we do with our day. Keep him on the forefront of why we make decisions in our life. Keep him on the forefront of where we go in our world. Because I believe that there'll be blessing in that, because it's not the norm. Listen, anything you do for God, you're never going to fit in the world. So, you know, anything you do for God, you will never fit in for the world. So just prep yourself for it and get on with it. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence. Diligence means you're going for it. You're on it. You're always thinking about where your heart's at. Remember how I said every day, ask God, where's my heart at? Where's my heart at, God? Where's my heart at, God? Keep God in the forefront. He's saying do this because out of your heart will spring the issues of life. Have you ever been around someone who calls themselves a Christian, but man, their mouth is foul? Oh, I love Jesus, but da-da-da-da, beep, 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 beep. And you're like, when was the last time they were in church? Like, seriously, that is springing up the issues of life. And they have not kept their heart at all diligence. Because when you keep your heart the way God has asked us to and the way he needs us to, then we will not have the issues of life that pour out that are horrible. The issues of life will come out and they'll be beautiful. They will be something that people want to look at and go, wow. How did they do that? How did they get through that situation so beautifully? How did they walk through that situation without fear? How did they do that, you know, at their house? I've been wanting to do that for so long. Just favor will follow you. Amen. Favor will follow you. Keep your heart at all diligence, and God will pour out favor on you. The issues of life are coming, guys, and they will be knocking at our door. Knocking at your door. They're probably knocking at your door right now. But keep your heart with all diligence, God says. Show in your actions. Keep your heart with all diligence. And he will take care of that. And he will give you the heart to do what it is you need to do for the others, people, and for yourself and for your families. Also, he wants us to keep our heart, our attitude, and our actions And the fourth one is your mind. The enemy loves to play in our mind. It's like I almost picture it as like a playground, and he's there trying to go down the slide and swing on your swing. Why are we letting him in? Listen, your mind is not his playground, but he likes to make it his playground. You have to take every thought captive, and anything that is above the name of Jesus, you cast it away. And listen to me. When we have our thought processes going through, we need the Holy Spirit with us when we're walking through some things. Because it's almost like, you know, the in the old movies or the old cartoons where they had the devil and the angel on the one shoulder? It's so true. How many times have you been wanting to do something for God and then, oh, no, don't do that. You don't have time. Okay, that is not God. That's the devil trying to say to you, no, you don't need to do anything for God. No. That's not what you should be doing. And God's going, hello, I called you. I've asked you. You just do it. Because if you do it, there's other things attached to this. You see, but we let our mind, it's the battlefield. You have to cast down those vain imaginations. You have to tell the devil to go to hell. There are so many times, have you ever gotten a ping or a pain in your body and you're like, oh, is that cancer? You're laughing because you have. Because, boy, is the devil on it, right? He just swoops right in and wants to put fear in us. How many times has your husband left the house or your kids and you think, oh, God, are they going to get in a car accident on the way, you know, to school? Are they going to come home? And your mind goes there, right? Is that God? No. That's the devil. Why are you letting him play in your mind? Get him off your playground. Kick him out. He's the bully on the playground that doesn't belong. Okay? He is. He's the bully on the playground that doesn't belong. Don't let him in. God says, listen. Set your mind on those things above. Set your mind on those things above. So anything that you're thinking about that maybe is jumping in there and saying, oh, well, this isn't going to happen. I know you're in faith about it, but doubt. Send that thing to hell. Anything that you have been speaking out of your mouth that's not godly, stop speaking it. I was saying something the other day. Oh. I was saying something about myself, and I think it's funny, but God said, I don't think that's funny. Oh, really? Why not? Well, because it's not nice. Yeah, but it's about me. I don't care. And he's like, oh, but I care because I created you. And it made me feel bad. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, shouldn't I be the one hurt here? Like, and I felt like God was telling me, Jess, what you're thinking and speaking out of your mouth about yourself is not true. And so you're letting those things become, and those are not what I've created you to be. And you're not this, and you're not that, you're this, and you're that. And he changed my thinking. So now he gave me a new word to replace it with, so I'm not gonna tell you what it was all about because it's private. But he did give me new language to use when I'm speaking about these situations about myself. And you see, you're gonna have to maybe renew your mind on these things. Okay? I know we are new in Christ, right? But we have to renew our minds. We have to unteach ourselves some things and reteach ourselves some things. Amen. So if we've been harsh, we need to be like, okay, God, I don't want to be harsh today. Help me to be nice. And then when you go talk to somebody and you lash back out at them, okay, so you did pray, you brought it to God before, you repent in front of that person and you say sorry for being harsh. Then you go home and you say, God, help me. The next time, I bet you will not be harsh. Because as you begin to catch yourself, that is the key. And God says you have to set your mind on what you're going to say. Set your mind on what you're going to think about. Set your mind on the plans and the purposes that I have for you. Because see, he doesn't play games with us. But we play games with him. And where do you think those games come from? The enemy. Bitterness. Anger, rejection, frustration. Are those things of God? So why do you set your mind on them? Oh, if I can't believe so-and-so did that to me. Oh, no, she didn't. The next time she says something, oh, the next time. She better just watch out. Listen, that is not God. This is what should have come out of your mouth. All right, well, you know, all right, God, I'm frustrated. I do not like that she's talking about me. But God, I pray that if I have to come across this again, that you would give me the words to say, and Lord, that you would shut her mouth, speaking ill will against me or my family or whatever's going on, in Jesus' name. You speak the word over that situation. Then you come across her, and ooh, that's fun. Have you ever just had aught with someone, and you're like, oh, they're right in front of me. And you just like want to glare. No, I don't have aught with you, but, you know, there was a situation in my life where I just remember my heart was really broken, and it was really hurt by something that this person had said to me. And I had to be in front of them all the time. And they were like ministers, God forbid. And no, they weren't bad people, it was just me. So anyways, they were ministers, and I thought to myself, how am I going to get past this? My heart is so weighed down. My thoughts are going there, how I don't like them, and da-da-da. And God spoke to me. He said, you start changing your thoughts, Jess. Start changing your thoughts. And I said, okay, I believe that they're wonderful. I know that they're good. I know that they love you, God. And I started to think about what I do know about that person. And all of a sudden, my heart began to follow what my mind was thinking. And I began to just fall back in love with that person. What the enemy had tried to break apart, God restored that back. And we are actually friends. We love each other. Like, there is no issues at all. And I just felt like God said to me, your mind and your heart have to connect together, because this will direct your heart somewhere else if you let it. So if you keep your thoughts on the things above, which I will Colossians 3:2, if you keep your thoughts on the things above, then your heart will have a better path to go down. You will help be diligent with your heart. Colossians 3:2 in the New King James says, set your mind on the things above and not on this earth. Set your mind on the things above. I had to change my thinking. And when I did, boy, was the love of God right there. The joy of God was right there. I was ready to do anything for those people. In fact, I loved them so much, I did a lot for them. And I was able to be the giver God asked me to be because I got rid of my thought mind. I got rid of my ill will in my heart. I had to get rid of me. I had to get rid of Jess, this flesh that wants to be frustrated, that can justify my anger, and that can be mad. I had to get rid of it. I had to shake it off. I had to move on. I had to go forward because God wanted me to be a giver to them. And God wanted me to love them. And God wanted me to bless them in what they were doing in their life, because then they took some new journeys down their walk in their life. And God, it has so touched them. And God is directing them. And I just am privileged that I get to be a part of it with them. And God has a plan for us. But you can keep yourself in bondage and you can live like not a giver. Let's go back to that. What does a not giver live like? You can live like this. You can live always unsatisfied, never enough, crabby, scheming, selfish, lonely, and limited. Or you can, with your attitude, with your actions, with your heart, and with your mind, be a giver. And you can free yourself up with no boundaries. You can be prosperous. You can be settled. You can be clear-minded. You can be fulfilled, and you can be unselfish in your world. And listen, I always think about, what am I showing to my children? What am I showing to you girls? What am I showing to my husband? What am I showing to the people in my world? Okay, so now think about your world, your husbands, your brothers and sisters, your family members, the people in your world. What are you showing them? Because they will follow you. Because you have a louder voice than you realize you have. They love you. And so anything you don't like and anything you're ungodly about, they're going to fall. Oh, well, yeah, I know. They'll take up your cause with you. And God says, you can't be a giver to them. You're giving them crap. You're giving them a load of dung and saying, here, come follow me and let's hold it together and let's go through. No, 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 no. You need to be women that hand them a cup of tea and enjoys the day with them, and that people that they can trust, and they can sit down with you, and they can reap wisdom from you, and people that they know that is a free and clear and wonderful place to be around you. You see, you are an example to your family. You are an example to your family. Amen. It is not about what they do. It is about what you do. God says to be a cheerful giver, it is all contingent on your spirit, soul, and body. He wants all of us and no part of us to be gone. He wants it all. He's not requiring only our minds. He's not requiring only our hearts. He's requiring your actions. He's requiring your attitude. He's requiring your heart. He's requiring your mind. He is requiring all and every piece of you. So that when we sing a song like, I give myself away, God, I give myself away so that you can use me, he goes, oh, daughter, I know I can. And you just wait, because right the next corner that you turn, you will be a minister for my name's sake. And the next person you touch is going to be anointed like they've never been anointed before. And because the next bill that you pay will be paid in full. And because this, and because the healings that you will see when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And when you lay hands on people to get anointed with the Holy Spirit, they will get filled. And listen, that is what God is requiring of us. And that's what he needs us to be, is his walking vessels on this earth, to be cheerful givers of everything he's distributed through us, and that he's ready to give through us. But we are blocking him with our uncheerfulness. We are blocking him with our attitudes, our actions, our hearts that we're not asking God, can you fix them? And our minds and our thoughts, where the enemy is playing on our playgrounds in our mind. Guys, let's clear that up. Let's straighten that out. I'm excited to be the woman he needs me to be. And that means that if I got to get in my little prayer closet, even if it's for 3 minutes, girls, you don't have to go pray for hours. I know Pastor Sue's so wonderful. She goes, prays for hours. I sit there and think, wow, I don't even have that many words anymore. Usually, like, me and God are like, so I get to the point. He gets to the point. We're good. All right. See ya. Let's go. Like, that is just how I am. We are good. Like, and that's just how me and God work. But you know what? Know your place with God. You may need hours, so take your time. Make it available for you. Figure it out. If you do, like for me, I don't get, probably, maybe when my kids are older, mine might get 2 hours. That'd be awesome. I couldn't even study for 2 hours. So God just knows what your time consumes, and he does cherish that, and he does know. So say, okay, fine, I'm giving this to you, God. And he will double your time. He will give you more revelation than you've ever had before. You make time for him, you can go be the giver he needs you to be. So you give with your finances, you give with your heart, you give with your body, you give with your soul, you give with your mind. If you're giving, 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 guess what? I promise you, you'll actually receive more than you've ever gave. Because when you're a giver, you receive so much more than you give. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to give the first fruits. I keep telling my husband, can we just give it now? I just want to give it now. It's like burning a hole in my bank account. It's like sitting there, you know, like, and I'm not tempted to go spend it anywhere else. I know that is for the God, and that is just my first fruit. I can't wait to see what else he's going to do for me. You see what I'm saying? When I make cookies, okay, I know this is so cheesy. I'm giving you little examples of things you could do for people, but I like making chocolate chip cookies. Well, listen, there is a little girl in my life that I adore, and she loves my cookies. It is not my daughter. Nope. It is my goddaughter, I guess you would say, Kylie. And this girl loves my cookies. I know this is so stupid, but the joy that she gets when I give her a cookie. You would think I, like, drove to the moon and had, like, special moon dough, and, like, I don't even know, like, she loves my cookies. Like, I will make Kylie batches of cookies whenever you want. You know what I mean? Because when you give and there's such an attitude of gratefulness back, oh my gosh, doesn't it make you just want to go give them more and more and more? Oh, I'll get you fat. I'll get you real fat. You can have as many cookies as you want. It does something for you because her gratefulness blesses my heart. And I will make her cookies until she marries my son, and then I'll make her more cookies. And that's just something little, but maybe it's a meal. Maybe, like, you know, maybe you just get the joy of bringing someone to your house and making them a meal, and they're like, ooh, this is so good. I can't believe how good you cook, and you just love that. You're like, oh, thank you, you know? Then go make them another meal. You know what I mean? Like, because it blesses your heart. Because isn't it nice to kind of sow into something and get gratitude back? So please be givers, because you're going to be blessed way more than you've ever gave. And if you give, then God does not abandon a cheerful giver. I love that. Whose heart is in their giving. So if you got something from God today, go ahead and give him a hand. Amen. Pastor Michelle.